welcome to our second live recorded episode. We are still at the Tabletop Gaming Expo 2022. So if you hated our last episode when we were here, you're going to hate it again. But that's okay, because we still have special guest, George Portugal. The Portuguese, the Portuguese.
The Portuguese.
Portugal. So, this episode, we are talking about Ms. Pac-Man. And as Seamus was talking, which Jake may or may not edit out, we're going to have to back up a little bit to talk about Ms. Pac-Man, because it starts with Missile Command. So we're going back to January 13th, 1982, Ms. Pac-Man releases the first sequel to the pop culture phenomenon that is Pac-Man, and eventually becomes more popular, I would argue, than Pac-Man.
Yeah.
That kind of image is just iconic with the little bow. And a lot of the stuff that's in Ms. Pac-Man is iconic, too, like the pretzels and the apples and cherries, more than the first Pac-Man. But the creation of the game goes back to a bunch of college students, led by two MIT students named Doug McRae and Kevin Curran. McRae has a small coin-op route on the MIT campus with one pinball machine gifted to him and three Missile Command machines that he buys. And with every arcade game, Missile Command loses popularity among players and eventually becomes less and less popular. And people get better at the game, so they have to put less quarters in it to keep playing longer.
Right.
So as longer the game is out, the less money you end up making.
Right.
Yep.
McRae is not making enough money on these machines. He does what any engineering student at MIT would do, enlists his friend, Kevin Curran, and they take apart one of the cabinets, reverse engineer the board set to an emulator, break Atari's code for the game, and build a separate daughter board that fits onto the existing board set, overlays the code onto the gameplay, changes the game to create a completely different, basically unique version of
Missile Command.
Right, and McRae and Curran are very smart at this time because they know that they don't want to get sued by Atari if Atari finds out. That's why it's a daughter board. So they're not deconstructing Atari's code on the board set.
Yeah.
They're just literally plugging in a daughter board onto their board.
Yeah.
So it's completely separate.
So once again, this is kind of like the Wild West again, where they're able to just kind of rip off this in a certain way. But it's not the same exact game that, like, as what we were talking about last episode. Now it's a new, complete
game. This is like
game,
an add-on.
But it's kind of like the same hardware in a sense, right?
Right. Okay. Right, so one could turn it back into Missile Command simply by removing the thing. And then, of course, the thing that they're making is their own creation. It's like, you know, you can't be sued for it. It's like, this is our original...
Yeah, they're adding
our original product.
Very slick.
So they call it Super Missile Attack. It's a very similar, or it's exactly the same version as Missile Command. Some new enemies, like a laser-shooting UFO, a new color scheme, and it's a hit at MIT on the campus.
Yes.
And the guys decide that they should sell their enhancement kit to the open market. They take out ads in the back of Play Meter magazine and Replay magazine, calling their company General Computer. That's very, very creative.
Yeah,
very clever
General
name
Computer.
Right there. Yeah.
Sell the boards, cost them $30 to make for $250 retail. That's pretty good.
That's some good markup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
markup. Huge
and
markup.
They sell 1,000 boards over summer break.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which
a thousand boards at I think it's $295 a piece, and they were renting an apartment. There was like 8 or 9 of them in Manhattan. And they were just throwing enhancement kits together that cost them $30, selling them out of Replay magazine. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
That's great money for a college student, too.
Yeah.
They made a killing.
I mean, hey, back then it was probably 2 years of tuition or something.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they're very happy that they made this kind of money. They decide to do it again with a little game called Pac-Man. Right. They find out that the code for this game is a lot more complicated than Missile Command. It takes them twice the time for General Computer to disassemble Turo Iwatani's code.
Yeah.
And Atari doesn't really care. They bring them to court for copyright infringement.
Yes.
They don't really care about the game board enhancement and stuff. Their concern is that the coin-op business with the video arcades would be destroyed if arcade operators can update old games instead of buy new ones that Atari puts out.
Right. Right. That's a big deal.
Right. That's a huge deal.
So especially if they can update it for $300, how much does a new game cost? Thousands.
They slapped them with this copyright infringement lawsuit, full well knowing that once it goes to court, they can put as many injunctions as they possibly can on them, but the judge is going to end up seeing, like, well, they're not really ripping you off.
Yeah, they're not infringing on your copyright.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's a separate board.
Right.
It's an enhancement kit. It's not like, yeah.
The old IP debate about
right,
it's
exactly,
an add-on.
Exactly.
It's transformative.
Right.
Especially at this time.
Yeah.
Hmm. But that totally opens up the doors. In terms of how the market changes for the arcade operators.
Yeah.
And apparently Atari eventually gets sick of this back and forth injunctions and cease and desist and whatever, and essentially go and ask General Computer, Curran and
McRae,
what do they want? What's their end game? And they just tell the lawyer that they want to make video games. So Atari's coin-op attorney, Skip Paul, it's a great name, makes a deal with them. Atari is going to drop the lawsuit, admit that they were wrong for bringing them to court, and pay them $50,000 a month for 2 years to develop games if they would just stop making these enhancement kits.
Two guys from MIT just went up against the biggest video game coin-op company in the country, in the world, at that time. And they
got paid.
Yeah.
And they got paid.
Pretty
impressive. To basically shut
good
up.
Money.
Yeah.
So they went to court. They went another way to go to court, and meanwhile, they completely lost. And they're the ones shelling out money to these MIT students now.
Yes, but Atari has to go to court to at least get injunctions to delay them long enough to find out what's going to make you guys stop doing this crap.
It's
we're going to give you a job.
So they can continue to sell hardware, and then
kill the add-on market because the add-on market would have messed up their business plan.
They forced their hand. There's nothing they could do.
Yeah, I mean, the add-on market would have... I mean, like they said, it would destroy main big top dogs like in the arcade markets.
I mean, it happened eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah, but at least they slowed
it
down.
But not until about 15 years later.
Yeah.
Well, what would you say would be the turning point? Because, I mean, in my head, the first thing that's popping to my mind is like emulators. So, like,
no,
being
no,
able
no.
To
I'm
just...
thinking like Neo Geo.
I'm thinking Neo Geo. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
Neo
where
Geo.
My head goes.
Yeah.
Swap to card out.
Or even a little earlier with Nintendo making things like Play Choices and Versus systems that could be swapped out. Or just companies making kits where you could take your game and convert it, which is a similar kind of idea. So eventually the door opens, but Atari's doing their damnedest to slow that down because they make a hell of a lot more money every time someone needs a new cap.
Some people consider the popularization of JAMA, the JAMA harness, the start of the death of arcade gaming because you can just swap the JAMA.
You can just
drop
any board.
Yeah.
Drop any board
into the cab.
Change out your control panel.
So General Computer does not want to kill their Pac-Man enhancement kit.
Right.
They agree not to make any more kits without permission from the manufacturer or creator.
Exactly.
Okay.
So this gives them a way to salvage this Pac-Man kit. They fly to Chicago, meet with Bally Midway to work out a deal, and they tell Bally Midway that they just beat Atari in court with the paperwork.
They bluff them. They bluff
them. Atari dropped the case, with prejudice, admitting that they were wrong.
Right.
General Computer tells Bally Midway that they're going to sell the enhancement kits no matter what, and they just want Bally Midway's blessing. Right? So they're basically saying, hey, we just beat Atari in court.
Right.
And they're just strong-arming
really
them.
They
and
we're
saying,
Bally
hey, Bally
Midway,
Midway.
Hey, Atari gave us a job.
Right. Exactly.
They're bluffing them.
Right.
Wow. Impressive.
And McRae doesn't realize that Bally Midway had just shut down their production of the Pac-Man cabinets after making it the biggest selling game of all time. They had nothing to follow it up with. So Bally Midway executive, David Marofsky, says to General Computer, let's talk about a Pac-Man sequel instead of the enhancement kits. So instead of making it, putting this thing on it, let's just make our own.
Right.
So,
now, Bally Midway just shut down the production line after 100,000 plus full-size cabinet Pac-Mans. They've got nothing. Right. And again, like you were saying, there's nothing. There's nothing after that.
Yeah. So this couldn't have happened at a better time for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. This is really funny.
Yeah.
So General Computer's kit is called Crazy Auto.
Yes.
And it gives Pac-Man legs.
Yes.
Oh, no.
He has legs. Oh, you can look it up, and he has legs on it.
Now I need to see this.
Yes.
Wow. Apparently, for some reason, this is completely unacceptable to Bally Midway.
They don't want it.
I can see why.
But what's funny is, on the Bally Midway marquee of Pac-Man, the old ones, Pac-Man has legs.
Oh, wow.
Legs.
Wow.
On ours, he has legs. Look at our marquee next time.
Yeah, they're weird.
He has legs.
L's.
Really?
Pac-Man has legs.
Well, I mean, there's Pac-Man World and
I'm
stuff.
I'm picturing, like, the, you know, the M&M characters. I don't know why I'm picturing M&M characters.
That's more of the modern, Pac-Man Pac-Man with legs.
Yeah, well, you have, like, Pac-Man World and stuff, which is kind of
like
funky.
Thigh definition there, you know?
Meaty
so thighs. So Bally Midway is like, yo, you guys got to...
You can't
cut
put legs on
back.
The
you
back.
Got, you have to cut his legs back off again now.
Mm-hmm.
So General Computer decides to make a female character instead, and they start burning the ROMs for the kits under the name Pac-Woman.
Okay? Pac-Woman.
Pac-Woman.
Similar to General Computer,
many females at Bally Midway thought that the name was a bit inappropriate, so they go with Miss, M-I-S-S, Pac-Man. Good idea until they remember in animation 3 where the Pac-Man and the female Pac-Man have a baby, and that obviously would have been like a bastard baby Pac child.
Uh oh. Can't have that.
Wedlock.
Can't
so
have
it's
baby
changed
Pac.
To Mrs. Then one last time it's changed to Miss MS Pac-Man, so basically to not offend anyone.
Got it. Okay. That's hilarious.
Ms.
So that's the evolution of the name. Of that game.
That right. is crazy.
This could have all been avoided if the legs were not involved.
Exactly.
They just got rid of Crazy exactly. Otto's legs.
They could have just chopped the legs and just called it Baby Pac-Man.
Right, yeah.
I
well,
think,
baby
I think
Pac
there is a
later.
Baby Pac-Man. Yeah.
There is a baby Pac-Man.
Like
we
Pac-Man.
Do own a baby Pac-Man, even though it's not functioning.
Yeah.
It's broken as shit.
It is. So
well, it's a hybrid pinball game, too.
So, interestingly enough, Midway never makes any Miss Pac-Man board sets. They just restarted production on the Pac-Man boards and put on General Computer's enhancement kit, which sped up the game a bit. They changed the cabinet artwork. They got Nakamura over at Namco's blessing. And now they immediately have another arcade hit based off of an IP that's at this point now 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, biggest differences in gameplay, guys, are there's four mazes instead of one. It's definitely faster. We've talked about that before.
Yeah,
Jake
definitely.
Has said it. The ghosts do not follow a set path. So, it's harder to fool them as the player, as Ms. Pac-Man. Cosmetic changes are the bonus fruits and objects that go around the maze that we've talked about before. Ms. Pac-Man has bow and red lipstick. And Clyde, the ghost, has transitioned to become Sue,
right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The ghost. So there's... Okay. Midway goes on to sell 115,000 Miss Pac-Man cabinets.
Wow.
Which is basically like 15,000 or so more than Pac-Man. They are the only two arcade games, guys, to ever sell over 100,000 cabinets.
Wow.
In the world.
That's amazing.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Miss Pac-Man is
I'm seeing here by 1987 had pulled in over $1.2 billion in quarters.
Wow. Yeah.
It's the highest grossing game of 82. In 1983, it's in the top two grossing games. And again, a year later in 1984, now the game's 2 years old, it's still in the top five highest grossing games of that year.
That's nuts.
As Zach was saying, it's something by 1987. It's $1.2 billion. By 1995, it's made $1.5 billion. The Sega Genesis version of the game, which I didn't know.
It's a great version, by the way.
It sells more than a million copies when it was released in 1991.
Wow.
It's a good version.
That's crazy.
The Atari 2600 version, which Chris has said that is quite a good version, is Video Game of the Year at the 1983 Arcade Awards.
Wow.
In 2016, guys, Time Magazine lists Ms. Pac-Man fifth in its 50 best video games of all time. Only Doom, Zelda Ocarina of Time, Mario 64, and Tetris rank higher on that list.
Wow.
Okay. It beats out Donkey Kong. It beats out Mortal Kombat. It beats out Space Invaders. It beats out Super Mario Brothers, and it beats out the first Zelda.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's in good company.
It's an absolute blockbuster of a game. Yeah. And as we had mentioned before in an earlier podcast, it ends up being like 60% of its base players are females. So it brings women
into the arcade.
In droves into the arcade.
That's awesome.
In absolute droves.
And it all started from Missile Command.
Yeah.
The greatest game of all time, as we've all agreed.
According to you.
All
right.
The greatest trackball of all time.
For reference. Oh, my God. If it didn't have that
Chris Horton has quite an affinity for Missile Command.
And trackballs. We've talked about this. We all know this.
I don't blame you, Chris.
Thank you.
Something about the
trackball. All about Missile Command, and all because some guys at MIT wanted to make Missile Command, or wanted to make more money off Missile Command.
Yeah.
And then wanted to sell their...
Which, Chris, are you taking that personally, by the way? Are you upset about that?
No, why would I be upset about that?
They get rid of the trackball.
No, they don't. Oh, well, for Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Imagine Ms. Pac-Man with a trackball.
I don't even want that.
I think that's...
No
think
way.
That's
are you
to
guys
happen.
Fucking
he
crazy?
He hates the trackball.
Are you guys
that
crazy?
That sounds amazing. Are you kidding me?
You're telling me that Ms. Pac-Man... would be better with a trackball.
Yes.
How?
Any game would be better with a trackball.
It's like every game ever made.
I want to play Street Fighter 2 with a trackball. Marvel vs. Capcom.
He wants to throw a fireball.
Okay, Tetris with a trackball. I want to play it all.
With a trackball.
So, everything with a trackball.
So Bally Midway goes back to General Computer later on, and they do Junior Pac-Man for Bally Midway. It's released in August of 83. That does pretty well. Baby Pac-Man, which is the pinball video game hybrid that we were just talking about.
Yep.
That's contracted by Bally Midway to do by Nutting Associates. Now, we all remember Nutting Associates of Computer Space fame.
Correct? Of course.
Yep.
Now, General Computer doesn't get the go-ahead to make Baby Pac-Man, right? Now, McCray and the guys at General Computer, the MIT boys, they decide to turn around and sue Midway because they claim that General Computer comes up with the idea of a Pac-Man family.
Uh-huh.
And they deserve royalties on Baby Pac-Man. They bring them to court. They freaking win.
Wow.
Now they have to get royalties on Baby Pac-Man. This is two guys from freaking MIT. Schizers, right?
Amazing.
They have to get royalties on Baby Pac-Man, which didn't sell well.
Didn't.
Not blockbuster.
The lawsuit provides them with the royalties on that, but further, the royalties on everything that has members of the Pac-Man family on it.
Wow.
Because they came up with the idea of a Pac-Man family with Ms. Pac-Man.
So those amazing cartoons.
Everything.
Everything
so that's got Ms. Pac-Man or Baby Pac-Man or Pac-Man Jr. on it.
They get a cut.
You're talking TV trays.
Right.
Everything. Comic books.
All
or
plushies. Whatever. Stickers.
The sticker, all that.
Yeah, everything.
Now they get royalties from all that shit. Which is nuts.
That's crazy.
Does this include Pac-Man as a singular character?
No.
Okay.
Members, if Pac-Man is on something with a family member,
then it's
yes.
Yeah. I would like to say maybe that's why we only see Pac-Man now as a singular character.
That's true.
I mean, likely not. We're talking like maybe, I don't know what the percentage of their commission is for.
It probably doesn't help.
I guarantee it doesn't help.
Yeah.
But it's possible that transition, like maybe back to a singular character, at the time, maybe in the 90s, something like that, has transitioned to today to just become the norm.
Right.
Well, because I would almost argue that today, even today, Ms. Pac-Man is more iconic than Pac-Man.
Interesting.
I think. And we're going to get to that. But now, a little bit more about General Computer. These guys, okay? In their deal with Atari, they go on to make what I consider to be one of the greatest arcade games of all time, and there was only 1,000 sold. They go on to make for Atari Food Fight.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
They're responsible for Food Fight.
They made Food Fight.
They're also responsible for a very not so well known rare vector game called Quantum.
Okay.
That's for arcades. And they develop the Atari 2600 versions of Ms. Pac-Man,
okay.
Centipede, and Pole Position.
Oh, there we go.
They produce half of the Atari 5200 cartridges.
Wow. Damn.
And the entire first round of Atari 7800 cartridges.
Okay.
It's pretty remarkable.
That's nuts for a couple of guys who basically like weaseled their way into everything.
And who just wanted to make money off Missile
Command. And won every freaking lawsuit against all these big companies.
Right. They take on the big guys. They know what they're doing. They figure it out.
Amazing.
So,
what portion of Atari did you say they really took over? Like, were they like the main figures of Atari?
They're just a company just that Atari hires and contracted to do things.
Wow.
That's
now,
it.
Are Many? They? Go ahead. Do they stick around after like the 7800?
No,
so I
traced them. They were still doing some software stuff, and then they're defunct as of 2015.
Okay.
Oh,
they
wow.
ended doing. I believe they were still out of Massachusetts, the company.
Oh wow.
They ended their, I guess, company with. Building printers for PCs.
Okay.
Okay.
They went, you know, after the crash and after video games brought them nothing, they went to just doing like hardware add-ons for computers.
Software type of stuff.
Office software type of stuff and office hardware type of stuff. Okay. So printers, you know? So if you go back to something that was just mentioned. So tons of critics of the day, early 80s, definitely do claim that Ms. Pac-Man was a far better game.
Yeah.
And that still holds with a lot of people today.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about that?
I think it is. Absolutely. 100%. I prefer the faster paced game compared to just regular Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I prefer Missile Command.
Wait. Now if it's Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man or Missile Command, it's Missile Command.
Now that's a conversation.
It's trackball.
No, we're talking
now maybe
about
Miss Pac-Man had a trackball. Then we'd have a discussion here. But as it is,
I could just imagine all the games of today being on a trackball.
All
Minecraft
of
on trackball.
All of them.
GTA on trackball.
GTA on trackball.
GTA
Forza 6.
See, now GTA on trackball might be interesting.
Forza 7.
But think about
Cruising
Forza.
Exotica.
Think about how influential it is of a game and that how many people think that it is better than Pac-Man.
Yeah,
right, sure.
Look, Pac-Man's not on the list of Time Magazine's top 50 games.
Yeah.
They pick Miss Pac-Man. What I'm assuming is, quote-unquote, the better version of the game
to
them.
Pac-Man. Yeah.
The best Pac-Man.
It's one of those rare cases where the sequel is arguably better than the original. It happens
pretty significantly
here and
better.
There.
Yeah.
It happens here and there. And I was just about to bring that up because I was thinking about that as I had been writing the show notes for this one, Chris. And yeah, I feel like it definitely is that. The sequel is better than the original. And you don't see that a lot in arcade games.
Especially in arcade games.
I see it miss Pac-Man. And you obviously see it in Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 1. That's just obvious.
That's a huge difference.
But I'm trying to think of other ones. Can you guys think of any others that are like that?
Am I mistaken?
Mortal Kombat 2 is better than Mortal Kombat 1.
Am I mistaken that Galaga is a sequel to
Galaga is a sequel to Galaxian.
Galaxian,
correct. Okay.
Yeah,
I feel it's better.
They're not that similar.
I feel like Galaga is better than Galaxian,
yeah.
I do.
No, I
mean, so yeah, you're right about that.
Maybe Pole Position 2.
I don't know.
See,
I feel like they're super duper similar.
They're very similar. I mean, maybe it's because I'm most familiar with Pole Position 2 playing on a fucking plug and play.
Right.
So, like, it's nothing like the actual cabinet, but I don't know.
How do we feel about Asteroids?
What, like Asteroids Deluxe?
Asteroids Deluxe?
Yeah.
I don't consider the Deluxes necessarily part twos.
Okay.
I consider them modded versions of the originals.
Yeah.
Modified version of the originals.
What's
really an Asteroids Part 2 is technically Space Duel.
Oh.
Technically.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual successor.
Okay.
Was there a Donkey Kong Jr.? I was gonna say was there a Donkey Kong 2?
That's not better than Donkey Kong.
No, I know. I was just wondering.
It's awesome, but
since we were talking about sequels.
It's not better than DK. You know what might be better than DK though, is another arcade game that stars a monkey. And that monkey is Bubbles Jackson.
Bubbles Jackson's Moonwalker.
A Moonwalker fame.
Does Moonwalker have a trackball?
No, it doesn't.
It needs one.
We could install one.
Let's do it. That's next on the Arcade Age podcast. Join us next time where we install a trackball onto Michael Jackson's Moonwalker and other games that shouldn't have it.
Every cabinet that we have.
Every cabinet gets a trackball.
You boot it up, and it's just Missile Command that boots up.
Yes. Every cabinet is Missile Command. It has all the trackball. Except the Ms. Pac-Man one. That one plays Ms. Pac-Man with the trackball.
But damn, is there other part twos that you guys can think of in the arcade that are, like, better than the original?
That are in the arcade that are better.
That outdo.
I don't know.
I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom.
I was going to say.
2 versus Marvel vs. Capcom.
It's better.
But that's, like, later. Like, earlier stuff, like, I don't think.
Well, and a lot of the fighting games. I don't know if I really even count those because they're basically the same game.
Yeah, the same thing. Just like
I mean, Street Fighter is an exception, obviously.
Street Fighter 2 is a very big jump.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
That's a very big jump.
But even like Mortal Kombat 1 and 2.
It's
not a massive jump.
Yeah,
but a jump
NBC 1 and 2.
Just little improvement.
They're improved.
If I'm going to be honest, Mortal Kombat 2, the only reason why I would prefer that one more is because you just get more characters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're just adding things.
It looks a little better.
Like I was saying before, I mean, Miss Pac-Man
crazy
outdoes Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It sells
Street
more.
Street Fighter 2.
That we said
yeah,
that.
We were talking about
we've been
that,
talking about
are
that
you,
for the last 5 minutes.
Sean, are you attending this podcast, or are you like, where the hell are you, buddy?
I was brain dead for a second.
You were brain dead for
a
second.
We noticed. You're thinking but about Miss Pac-Man.
Between Miss Pac-Man and Pac-Man, thinking. You're talking like almost a quarter of a million, like, standing pieces of furniture sold. Cabinets.
That's huge.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
At maybe $3,000 a piece.
Huh.
Shipped, right?
Right.
Like $2,500 to $3,000 a piece shipped.
It's like one of the big, well, I mean, I guess you can include like is it Centipede or Millipede where women were attracted to the games, but
yes.
Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah, those
Centipede
are sequels.
And Millipede and Ms. Pac-Man.
I like Centipede better, though.
Ms. Pac-Man had to blow that out of the water, though, because now you're like, now it's not just Centipede, Millipede, where it's like gardening is kind of like a thing for women to get interested in. Now it's specifically named Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
You know, like Ms. Pac-Man really had to get women involved.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And I think we had talked about it with the Centipede. In the Centipede podcast, we said like 50% of the bass players were women for that game, and 60% of bass players for Ms. Pac-Man are women. Which
that's
those are huge numbers.
It
you're
is.
Thinking everything else at that time, you're talking in the high 80s percentage, 86-88% are male players.
Men.
Like
yeah.
a game like Defender.
Right.
That was 88% men playing that game.
Right.
Now, women didn't play Defender.
Now a game like Missile Command.
Missile Command.
I think that was a male mainly males as well.
I disagree.
Yeah, no,
I won't hear this slander. Everyone loves Missile Command.
Oh, no, no, I'm saying everyone doesn't love Missile Command. I think everyone loves Missile Command.
Correct.
I agree
they
with
better.
You.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arcade Age Exhibit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed your time with our hosts, Seamus, Zach, Jake, Sean, Chris, and Jose. Tune in next week, and remember, the future is now.